Amen. It's so good to have you today. If you're here and you're a visitor, we want to say we welcome you. Amen. So good to see Randy and Christy's family with them today. Amen. I know she's smiling. Randy's smiling. Good to see them. Amen. God's good, ain't he? All the time. It is Pentecost Sunday, so guess what we're going to talk about? We're going to talk about Pentecost. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Key word being were. Amen. I'll leave that alone. Yeah. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. And when it was noised abroad, the multitudes came together and were confounded, because every man heard them speak in his own language. You can be seated. The Bible tells us that God is not the author of confusion. God is not the author of confusion. So if you are confused, that confusion did not come from God. But we have an enemy. We have an enemy, and his job is to confound and to confuse. The enemy's job is to make things that are certain seem uncertain. It's the enemy's job to come to us, no matter what our upbringing, what we've been taught, what we've heard, even if we've been taught truth, the enemy's job is to confound that truth and make us question truth. When the enemy met Eve in the garden, he said, "Shalt thou surely die?" It was just questioning the word of God that got Eve in trouble. So Eve, in turn, got Adam in trouble. Adam, in turn, got the whole human race in trouble. So if you work by the sweat of your brow and you struggle, blame it on them. Just blame it on them. When we get to heaven, if they're there, I want to have a talk with Adam. I mean, all the struggle that we've had is a result of sin. There's no other way to explain it. You can try to reason away. I don't want to get too far into this, but the evolutionists would tell us that everything is getting better, that things are evolving into better species. Evidence tells us that everything is going back into chaos. The law of thermodynamics says that everything is breaking down. Nothing's getting better. Just want to let you know, your car is at its best state when it first comes off the assembly line. After that, it begins to fall apart. Amen. Some faster than others. Ford, I'll leave it alone. I'm just saying. There are some. I'm just saying. But things are falling apart. And the Bible tells us why things are falling apart. The reason things are falling apart is because of sin. Sin will always make your life fall apart. Amen. But it's the enemy's job to blur the line. What's sin? What isn't sin? Your right may not be my right. Your wrong may not be my wrong. There's a problem with that. There is an absolute God. And when there is an absolute God, there is an absolute truth. Truth isn't relative. Your truth isn't relative to my truth. There is truth. And the truth is forever settled in heaven. How do I know that? Creation testifies to the fact that there is a creator. Where there's a design, there's a designer. Where there's a building, there's an architect. We know all of this. But the enemy comes in, Tracy, to confuse us sometimes and make us doubt and make us wonder. And the only way that we can know what is really, really, really true is by the Spirit of God. Who knoweth the things of God save the Spirit of God? There is a manifestation. God was God in creation. He was the Father in creation. We understand that he was the Son in redemption. And we understand that he's the Spirit inside of us today. If you are a born-again believer, you have God Almighty, a manifestation of his Spirit dwelling inside of you. It will bring all things to your remembrance. The Bible says it will guide you into all truth. Without that Spirit, you are confused. Without that spirit, you're just taking what society tells you at face value. I refuse to be that naive. I never did get a recall on my education. That still bothers me. I mention it a lot. Independence High School taught me things that were not true. They know they're not true now. They have never recalled me to come back and relearn what was right. If I have a problem with my truck, Randy, they call me and they recall it and they fix it. But they won't recall me and let me know that they're changing stuff. The reason they're changing stuff is because they're just trying to find out something to teach, and they figure out that what they taught me, they're teaching the next generation, is not what they taught me. It's not the same thing. But let me tell you this. This Bible that I hold in my hand is forever settled. It don't change. It don't waver. It don't move. And I promise you, God will never recall you and say, oh yeah, by the way, what I told you, it is forever settled in heaven. It will not shake. It will not turn. It, not one iota of his word will ever change. He wrote it in text form. Not just verbal, he wrote it in text form. He was that sure that what he was saying was right. He wrote it in a book so that people could analyze it, question it, come against it. And I want to tell you, I've looked at it myself, and it has stood the test of time. And when it's all wrapped up, the word of God will still be true. I don't care what Bill Nye, the science guy, says. The Bible's true. Can you say amen? Confusion. Confusion. Confusion comes in when we doubt the truth. Confusion comes in when that which makes sense, we don't want it to make sense anymore. Confusion comes in when we try to make our truth the right truth. The Bible knew this was coming. He said that there will be a day when they won't endure sound doctrine. They don't want to hear what it's sound doctrine. It makes sense. When you look at this Bible, it makes sense. It's the only religion that makes sense. It's the only book. There's a lot of books that can inform you, but there's only one book that can transform you. And it makes sense. When you read it, it makes sense. Not to the natural man. No, the natural man says, wow, a guy died on the cross, and that's supposed to change me. The spiritual man understands that it is the power of God unto salvation. He understands what the gospel does, that you can't save yourself. You can't get good enough. Unlike what Buddha taught, you will never experience nirvana within yourself. You will never overcome you with you. You've got to have something on the outside of you that's greater than you, that helps you overcome who you are. I'm a witness to it. I tried to walk the chalk. I tried to live right. I tried to do it. But it wasn't until he took up his abode in me that here I stand 20-some years later still holding the truth. Why is that? Because it's the Spirit. This is Pentecost Sunday, and there's a lot of confusion about Acts chapter 2. There's some radicals that have took this to mean things that it's not supposed to mean. But I want you to notice what has happened. The Spirit comes in suddenly, like a rushing mighty wind. And we make this sound, the Spirit came suddenly. And I've heard this preached before, that when God does it, he does a sudden work. Don't amen. Because they have been here for 10 days praying. They have been praying for 10 days. They're in this upper room praying for 10 days. Sometimes you got to keep knocking. Yeah, when God gets ready to do it, he does it. God can do it in an instant. But they're praying for 10 days in the upper room. Let's not forget that. The Christian life requires sacrifice sometimes. It's not all peaches and rainbows. Sometimes you're going to have to pray until God moves. Oh, why would God make me wait? You have to persevere in every aspect of your life. You think maybe he's teaching you to hold on and trust because he's going to show up. How many people have ever held on to God and he showed up just in time? Would you look at the witness? Man, I'm telling you, there is a God that'll answer your prayer, but sometimes you got to keep praying. The Bible says they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They were speaking in ways that they had never spoken before. Let that sink in for a minute. And what's amazing about this story is there's people from all over dwelling in Jerusalem. And they ask this question, how is it that we all understand in our own language. See, understanding is key, because the devil brings confusion, which is the opposite of understanding. The Spirit brings understanding, which is the opposite of confusion. So if you are confused about your worldview, you are in the right place, because I am very confident in my worldview, because I know it came from the one that created the whole world to begin with, and I'm confident that it's right. What's your worldview? How do you look at this? Because we've got people that are so confused that we've done summed it up. The 11th commandment is be kind, and the other 10 don't matter. We're in a place of confusion where we're wrapping everything up into one neat little package, and we all got to get along. Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace. I come to bring division. And I'm not getting radical with you. I'm quoting you scripture. What do you mean, preacher? It means there are two sides of this, and only two sides. There are not multiple paths. There aren't multiple destinies. There are only two destinies. And there's only one way to get to one, and you go to the other by default. Can you say amen? So I'm confident in this fact, that it takes the Spirit to reveal to man the truth. They say, how do we understand every one of us in our own language? The Tower of Babel. Do you remember the Tower of Babel? One of my favorite stories, and yeah, I'm going to say it again. They decided they was going to build a tower. And they said, we're going to build this tower for our namesake. Our namesake. So they start building a tower. God gets wind of the tower being built. He said, I'm going to go down and check this out, because man has purposed in his heart. He's going to build this tower, and it's going to reach into the heaven. There's a lot of debate about this. Was they really going to build a tower that could literally reach into heaven, or was this an allegory? Was this metaphorical? Was they about to decode the stars and come up with something that, what were they really? I don't know this. They had purpose in their heart, and they were going to get done whatever they thought they were going to get done. God comes down. He confounds their language. I think about this. They're building a tower. They're all working together. And all of a sudden, their languages are confused. This had to be hilarious if you were sitting on the outside looking in. Hey, reach me a board. Cut it out, man. Give me a board. I mean, it's the stuff going on everywhere. What are you saying, man? What are you doing? Cut it out. Let's get busy. Nah, he's confounding their language. And this is how mankind began to separate, because you could only understand certain people, and they begin to get together. Imagine the confusion that went on in that place. That's the plan of the enemy. It's always the plan of the enemy, is to bring confusion. Whenever you go to build something for your namesake, you're going to get in trouble. The Bible says, except the Lord build the house, they that build it labor in vain. Well, if the Lord's building the house, why do we need laborers? Because God in his mercy, I'm about to preach, is that all right? God in his mercy has allowed you to be part of the building. It's his house. It's his kingdom. But in his grace, he has allowed you to be able to be part of that. So what does he do to make you part of that? First of all, he has to change your spirit, because your spirit is contrary to his spirit. Amen. How many people ever get up on Sunday morning, and it's Sunday morning that your bed is the most comfortable on Sunday morning? Oh, come on, be honest. How many of y'all was like, got up this morning, was like, I'm going to church today. I'm so excited. I'm not going today. It's rainy. Oh, it just feels so good. Because your flesh is contrary to the spirit. Your flesh does not want to do the things of God. You by nature, I got to teach you real quick. You by nature are fallen. That's why I want to alert you. Your angels, in there are not as angelic as you think they are. And let's be honest, you weren't as angelic as your parents thought you were. Come on, it's confession time. You hid some stuff. You thought you was getting away with it. Now that I'm a parent, we weren't getting away with nothing. They knew it. They knew most of it the whole time. They just loved us so much they didn't clobber us. There is a fallen nature in man. That nature has to be changed. So the Spirit comes in. The Spirit of who? The Spirit of God. Comes in like a rushing mighty wind. And it sets on each of them cloven tongues like as of fire. It's amazing in Scripture how many times tongues and fire go together. Would you agree? Can I read you some? Can I show you some real quick? Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Your tongue can get you in a lot of trouble. It can also get you out of a lot of trouble. Life and death are in your tongue. Be careful what you say. Be careful what you speak. You can speak death and life. I can't. You can't. If you start talking certain ways, you're listening to you. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Galatians 4:22, for it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the bondmaid, the other by the free woman. But it was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. Which things are an allegory? For these are the two covenants. For one from Mount Sinai, which gendereth the bondage, which is Agar. And Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. He's saying there are two covenants. The one covenant is the covenant of bondage, and the other covenant is the covenant of freedom. So you must understand that the power of your tongue can choose bondage or choose freedom. You can speak things as not as though they were. How powerful what we say really is. It's amazing what one speech can do. It's amazing what one word from God can do. It's amazing what one sermon can do. It's amazing how much power is in the word when we speak it. But if we don't speak it, it does no good. You ever looked at somebody and you knew, or you thought they were mad at you, and you wanted them to tell you, and you say, hey, what are you thinking? And they look at you and go, nothing. And we've made this statement before, if looks could kill. You know, no, seriously, what's wrong? I said nothing. Now, you can ask and ask and ask, but until they tell you by speaking what is wrong, you never know. Words are an expression. Amen. Words are an expression. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh, right? Watch this. He says, these are an allegory. They're a representation. Luke 16:23, and in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip his tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Isn't it interesting to me, or you as well, that when he's in hell and he's being tormented, the one part that he's concerned about is his tongue. He don't say anything about his feet or his legs or anything. He says, I need him to cool my tongue. I need him to, out of all that's going on there, he's worried about his tongue. It's amazing. When people are in pain, it's at the front foremost of their brain. Some people, you just learn not to ask them how they're doing. Because you get an organ recital. You're like, hey, how you doing? Well, you just don't know. Well, I tell you, I got the measles and the mumps, a gashy rash and purple bunts. My liver quivers, my bladder splatters. It's just been so bad, you just don't know what I've been through. My feet are hurting. You're like, I am so sorry I asked. But when somebody's in pain, it don't take them long to talk about their pain. Amen? At the very front of his brain is the burning in his tongue. I just want him to cool my tongue. What about the rest of you? I don't know about you, but I would have said, is there any way Lazarus can bring a hose? But he's like, dip your finger in some water and cool my tongue. It's what he's the most concerned about. James 3:5, even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter. I think you went too fast. Did I finish that? A little fire kindleth. Did you hear this? Where's the fire at? In the tongue. Isn't it amazing what a little fire can kindleth? Where does that fire come from? The tongue. What you speak, what you say, what you express is so powerful. Verse 6, and the tongue is a fire and a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. Verse 8, listen to this. But the tongue can no man tame. It is unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Some of you parents, I'm looking at parents. I'm just looking at parents. I'm not looking at anybody. No, I'm looking at your kids. I'm looking at parents. Has your kids ever said something you went, I cannot believe they said that? Yeah. Everybody's shaking their head. Yeah. You're like, where did you learn to say that? Where did you get that from? I didn't teach you that. Where did you get that? Now, when they get older, we understand. We say it's them cell phones. That's where they get all their information from, and that's why they're so corrupted. Okay, I got a couple amens on that one. Point is, when the tongue starts speaking, it is expressing something from within. How dangerous it could be. But God knew this. God knew this so much that when he sent the fire on the day of Pentecost, the first place that he sent the fire was to their tongue. And when they begin to speak, they begin to speak as the Spirit gave them utterance. What does that mean? That means they were saying things that they wouldn't have normally, ordinarily have said. Why? Because the Spirit had turned them into a new creature. And to prove what was on the inside, they begin to speak it on the outside. What are you saying, preacher? There was a day that I didn't talk about Jesus, but since I've been set on fire from the Spirit, I can't stop talking about Jesus. Why, preacher? Because I know the power of this gospel. I know the power of a word. I know the power. How do you know that power? Because I sat in the pew as a sinner and the preacher preached and it pricked my heart and I knew there was something real about it. More real than what the world had to offer. Can you say amen? The tongue he sets on fire. And you know what the devil wants to do? He wants to shut you up. Why does he want to shut you up? He'll say things like this. Well, don't witness to him too much. You might be a bother. I've used this illustration before. We were all taught as kids, don't talk to strangers. Well, listen, you're grown up now, okay? Nobody's going to kidnap you. So you need to tell people about Jesus. It's the enemy that's like, don't tell them. Don't say it. They're going to think you're weird. They're going to think you're strange. I can't help it, man. There's something on fire in me. Man, I got to talk to a guy at work Friday. He came up there. He's a pastor's kid. He's not serving the Lord. He's telling me, well, I'll tell you, man, I'm just going to be honest with you. The reason that I'm not a Christian. And after he got done, I said, dude, those excuses are so lame. All of that is so lame. And he looked at me and I was like, just get rid of your excuses. You know better. I said, you know better. Deep down, you know better. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I said, well, then stop. Stop. I thought at some points I was going to make him mad, but I was on fire. I thought at some points I was going to, and we tiptoe around it so much. Well, I didn't want to offend him. The gospel's offensive. If you're walking off a cliff and I like you and I see you walking off a cliff, can you imagine? Don't tell them. You might offend them. I mean, they're getting ready to go. It's almost over. When do we start talking? When do we say, oh, no, don't hurt their feelings. It's going to hurt them all if we don't say something. It's time for the church to let the world know. Stop. Stop. Please stop. I got something for you. There's something burning in me. Just stop. You're getting ready to self-destruct. Stop. Stop. Marty, I came at this guy. I was blazing both barrels. I said, you know what scares me about a guy like you? He was quoting scriptures. He knew apologetics. He was brilliant. He's a very smart guy. I enjoyed the whole conversation. He's a little bit of a conspiracy guy. I'm okay with that too. We had good conversation. We're going down this and we're just talking. We get on everything in scripture and he knows. And finally, Randy, I looked at him and I said, you know what scares me, man, is you know all of this and you could be using this to help somebody and you're not. He can't fire me. He's not the big wheel, so I'm good. I'm safe. I got a text after work. He said, man, I really enjoyed talking to you today. Thank you. Wow. I didn't think he was ever going to come back and talk to me. You know what people want to hear? They want to hear the truth. The truth is there's a heaven, there's a hell. The truth is there's a Jesus and there's a devil. The truth is there's a way and there's destruction. The truth is you're either going one or the other. It's not a mix. It's not a big it's not a big smorgasbord and you just get to decide your avenue. Buddha can't get you there. Muhammad can't get you there. The 3,000 gods of Hindu can't get you there. Joseph, Stalin, Malakon, Nasser, Kofi Annan, none of those can get you there. None of that will ever help you. Nothing. But Jesus. But Jesus. There's no other way you're going to get there. And we as the church have to catch on fire and start preaching the gospel again. Listen, I don't need a fog machine to save people. I need the gospel. I don't need better lights. Look at this place. We got poles holding the roof up. Listen, we're going to build a church. That's fine. But for right now, we can save people right here in this little storefront. Why? The power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you're lost, you can be saved. If you're confused, you can be set free. If you don't know where to go, there's a God that wants to fill you with his spirit and give you purpose. How do I know? Because I was confused. I was confused. Come on, musicians, I'm done. I got so many more notes. But I know y'all got hot dogs to eat, cornhole to play, and we're going to let you spend time with your family. It's raining. Okay, I'm going to go finish my notes. It's raining. Sam, why don't you answer me a question? Are you the same guy you were before you met Jesus?
No, sir.
Was you confused before you met him?
Absolutely.
Did you sit in church and hear people talk about him?
Yes, sir.
And did you wonder if what they were saying was right?
All the time.
Me too. We used to sing a song, Robin, and it went like this. It said, I tried God, and I found him to be all right. You remember that song? I tried God, I found him to be all right. I look around, I see a lot of young people. I love young people. I used to be one. I look around at you, and I'm going to tell you the devil's lying when he says, you can't serve Jesus, you're too young. Because he told me that too. I said, Dustin, Christianity's for old people that ain't got no temptation in their life and got nothing else to do but sit around and read the Bible and go to Bible study and fuss. That was my conclusion about Christianity. When I get old, I'll be a Christian because I know it's almost final exam time and I need to be studying for it, so I'll read the Bible then. But right now, I just got too much temptation in my life. Got too much going on. I can't be a Christian because I can't live good enough. I know what's expected of a Christian. I got to be nice all the time. Never have a bad day. Christians can't even have bad hair days. I don't. And I had this perception of what Christianity was until 16 years old, I'm in a church. I'm trying to get out of there before they get me. I stood up, and my goal was to walk outside and get away from them. And I walked to the end of the aisle, and man, something was pulling on me. And instead of turning left to go outside, I turned right, and I went to the altar. I knelt down, and I prayed, and I said, God, forgive me for whatever I've done, whatever I am. God, I want a relationship with you. 16 years old. 1 year later, I started preaching. 17 years old, started preaching. It ain't been easy. But man, it's been worth it. When God uses you to say something that pricks somebody's heart, and they say, you know, I can't explain it, but there's something going on inside of me right now. Something's dealing with my heart right now. And I don't know, you don't feel it in your head. You feel it right here. Can't explain all that either. But I know this, when God says he deals with your heart, you can feel it. So here's what we're going to do. We try to do this every service. After we minister, we want to give you an opportunity to respond to something that you've heard. If you need to pray at the altar, we'll pray with you. You will not pray at this altar alone. Somebody will pray with you. If you say, you know, I believe what that guy's saying. I want that fire in my life. I want that passion in my life. I want God to set me ablaze. Because what I'm doing right now ain't working. I'm so confused. I don't know which way's what's right, what's wrong. How do I gauge all of what's going on? You got so many people on so many avenues telling me, come my way, come my way, come my way. And now you're telling me this is the way and there's something about it that makes sense to me. If that's you, I'd come. I'd come and let us pray with you. If you're not right with Jesus, don't walk out of here. It's the most important decision you could ever make. Maybe you were raised in church and you walked away. It's time to come back to the truth that nags at you. It eats at you. Because when you know it, you know it. As they sing this song, let's all stand together and make it easier if anybody needs to step out. God's dealing with your heart. If somebody's in your way, just ask them. Say, excuse me, I need to go. Today's the day. Today's the day. This is my moment with destiny. Today's the day.
Source of life, I can't be left behind. No one else will do. I will take hold of you. I need you, Jesus. I need you, Jesus. I need you, Jesus, to come to my rescue. Where else can I go?
God dealing with your heart this morning? Is he drawing on you? Is he speaking to you, his voice? Is he saying, come? The God of heaven, the God of glory, the creator that provided a way through his son is speaking to you by his spirit. Would you answer that call? Would you answer the call?